Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we're joined by a man that I've admired greatly for his courage and his willingness to disagree with what is often considered to be the received wisdom, the conventional wisdom, notably that of the international business community and its outliers here, the Chamber of Commerce. He is Kevin Carnes. He has been the president and driving force behind a wonderful organization, the U.S. Business and Industry Council, for many years, and has been at the forefront, really, of helping us understand what is going on with assorted trade agreements, patent reforms, as they're called, and the like. It's not always welcome, his analysis, in other quarters, but it is always welcome here. Kevin Carnes, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate the opportunity.
You have been very closely studying, now that the document is finally available, the texts of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and have, I think, come to many of the same conclusions that I have, though I don't have your acumen on these matters, namely that it's seriously defective. Would you talk a little bit about why you've reached that conclusion?
Yeah, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is an agreement among 12 nations, the U.S. and 11 other Pacific bordering nations. It is 6,000 pages in length. It is 30 chapters. It is about 10 agreements in one. And it is so complex that when you try to read it, no average person, let alone average congressman, could possibly penetrate the prose of this thing and digest all these pages. And what we're being asked to do, the American people and the Congress in particular, is in a 90-day period to pass this incredibly complex agreement with 100 side letters, which are special deals and carve-outs for various countries and their industries, in addition to the special deals that are in the main body of the agreement. Now, no one in his right mind, a congressman or woman, procedurally would agree to pass any piece of legislation in 90 days, let alone something as complex as this. So it's really an anti-democratic measure being rammed down throats of Congress and the American people by the Obama administration. And because it says free trade on the cover, does not mean it's free trade. It's actually managed trade, managed for the benefit of multinational corporations, banks, investment houses, insurance companies, etc. But it is a raw deal for the American middle class and working people in this country. It will do nothing to alleviate our massive national debt that we run up with these trade deficits with China and other countries year after year. Refusal to pass TPP is a sign of American sanity and strength. It is not a failure.
Kevin, you just touched on something that's really critical, it seems to me, and that is this idea that we're being hornswoggled, to use an old nautical term, that we're being told that this is free trade when, in fact, it's managed trade. And it will wind up sticking it to the middle class. But let me ask you about one other facet of this, which is deeply troubling to me, and that is that there are governance arrangements that seem to suggest that we will, in fact, find the Congress of the United States, sovereign decisions of the United States in the future, subordinated to whatever the 11 countries plus the United States come up with. Is that a fair reading of this? And doesn't it powerfully underscore the point you're making that we should not be ramming this thing through?
Well, it's not only fair, it's precise and accurate. TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, creates a new TPP commission that will be staffed by international bureaucrats. It will exist in perpetuity. And it will be able to alter the Trans-Pacific Agreement without any input from Congress. And I've long thought, maybe Congress wouldn't pass these really harmful trade agreements if it would outsource their own jobs. They don't seem to mind outsourcing the jobs of working people in America, of our middle and working classes. But in fact, by passing this thing, they are outsourcing their constitutional responsibility, Article 1, Section 8, to be responsible for foreign trade. They're outsourcing it to the new TPP Commission. I remember when conservatives like were leery of the UN, and you and I had fought over the Law of the Sea Treaty, I mean, fought against it, and all these other crazy international schemes. Well, TPP is setting up a new international scheme.
One other facet of this that our friend Rick Manning has pointed out from Americans for Limited Government, and I assume you agree with Kevin Carnes of the U.S. Business and Industry Council, is that this deal is being largely sold on the grounds that it excludes communist China. And some in the national security community are, as you know, making the case that this is worth a carrier battle group to us because it holds the line on the Chinese and their efforts to penetrate and extend their dominion over the Western Pacific. Is it, in fact, the case, as you see in reading this text, Kevin, that China could, in fact, be brought into this agreement without any how-do-you-do, let alone permission from the Congress of the United States?
Yes, that's the unfortunate case. Obama's pivot to Asia is nonsense, right? We're mired in the Middle East because of his policies there, so we have no opportunity to pivot. And the notion that some agreement negotiated by Harvard Law-trained Barack Obama and his U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman is going to contain the Chinese is absolute nonsense. You know, the Chinese Politburo didn't attend Harvard Law School with Froman and Obama. Their obligations to the WTO, which they joined in 2001, they have violated so many of them. They violated the IMF rules against currency manipulation. The Chinese do, and of course the island building / base building in the South China Sea. The Chinese are not a rules-based country. They are a country where the Politburo takes whatever actions it needs to further Chinese interests and to survive. They are not going to be bound by Barack Obama's rules. And by the way, that our Secretary of State, I won't characterize him negatively in the way that I want to on the air, but this week he invited China and Russia to join the TPP. So he pulled the curtain away. Aren't we sanctioning Russia for Crimea, Ukraine? Aren't we having troubles with him in Syria, et cetera, et cetera? Aren't we trying to discourage Putin's adventurism? And Kerry's inviting him into the TPP, which Congress, you know, has nothing to say about.
Let me just ask, Kevin Carnes, there are lots of folks in Congress on both sides of the aisle who are expressing concern about this deal. There has nonetheless been, as you know, this fast-track authority given to the president to move it through within 90 days, take it or leave it, no amendments in order, and the like. If you had to make book at the moment, Kevin, do you think that this deal will be rejected, and how important is it that we, in fact, mobilize for that purpose?
No one knows whether or not it will be rejected right at this moment, because everyone, including multinational business, some of which like the pharma and bio industries in the U.S., are harmed by this deal. So it's not clear. But that means it's all the more important for us to mobilize, for your listeners to light up the congressional switchboard and light up the district offices of their members of Congress and the state offices of their senators and say they're opposed to this. We have to put an end to America as the world's patsy, where we run these massive trade deficits. We sacrifice our factories and our jobs, and then those of us that still have jobs have to pay taxes to support a military, to try to protect these countries that are screwing us.
Kevin Carnes, we have to leave it at that. I hope that in addition to the efforts that you've just described, people who are interacting with the presidential candidates, including those on the debate stage tonight, will be talking with them about this very, very momentous issue, particularly from an economic point of view, but also from the point of view of national sovereignty. Kevin, thanks for the work you do at the U.S. Business and Industry Council and for taking a few minutes to talk with us about the TPP. We'll look forward to further discussions with you in the future. Next up, Ryan Morrow on the jihadist infrastructure in America. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.